Can those of you joining us online, can you hear us at the council chamber? You can give me a thumbs up or something in the chat. Yep, we've got to go ahead. All right, everyone, I have 6 o'clock p.m., so we'll call this regular meeting of the Washington City Council to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, silence cell phones, and remove caps.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Sally, would you please call the roll?
Ernest?
Here.
Galt?
Here.
Moore?
Here.
Steiger? Youngquist.
Here. So we have quorum with 4 of 5. We will have Councillor Sigers joining us later for a vote in the meeting. Before we approve the agenda, I do have a couple changes. Item number 6 and 7 under new business, we will put at the very end of all new business. That is our public hearing on the property tax levy. It requires a supermajority, which would be 5 of 5 councillors. Fran has a basketball game that he's coaching. So when he joins us, we'll have that at the end of the meeting. Finally, I have a speaking obligation at 7:30 to 7:45, somewhere in there for about 10 minutes. We either need to have business complete by that time or I'll have to call a recess. So we'll just see how things are going. That gives us 90 minutes to 105 minutes. So I think we'll be fine, but just as an FYI, that's a thing. With that being said, I would look for a motion to approve the agenda as amended. So I have the motion from Steve and a second from Millie. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We have an agenda. The first of which is the consent agenda, 14 items. Are there any for separate consideration?
Motion to approve consent items 1 through 14.
Second.
Thank you, Millie, for your motion and Steve for the second to approve consent items 1 through 14. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The consent agenda items will be paid. We'll move next to claims. And we'll turn it over to Kelsey.
All right. I did get one question ahead of time about water distribution under for Asinmore, and it was various supplies, which included a grease gun, thermostat, cleaning supplies, keys, gloves, wire for the wash bay, light bulbs, office supplies, extension cords, spray paint, and tools. Are there any additional questions?
Any additional questions for Kelsey on claims?
There's something I noticed on snow removal on Washington. I can't find it now.
Produce, maybe?
Yeah. 2471 Highway 92.
Sure. So when we put the sidewalk in for East Washington, there is one property that it's not in city limits, so we cannot.
Okay.
It was an agreement that we would clear that for them.
Okay.
Any other questions for Kelsey for claims?
I make a motion to set claims for February 15, 2020.
Thank you, Steve, for your motion. And Millie for the second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We'll move next to financials.
All right, this is the January 2022 financial report. Total treasury cash and investments have increased from the end of December by $148,323. That gives us a January month end balance of $7,702,817. After 7 months of operations, we're behind budget for revenue in the airport fund by $14,665 due to fuel sales, and the water fund by $103,211 due to transfers and charges for services. We're ahead of budget for revenue in the following funds: the general fund by $247,000 due to our local option sales tax, county contributions, and transfers; the road use fund by $42,493 due to road use taxes; the sewer fund by $6,656 due to transfers and sale of salvage; and the sanitation fund by $42,033 due to charges for services as well. After 7 months of operations, expenses are under budget for all of funds except for the general and sanitation fund. The common theme in most funds is that we're over budget due to work comp installments and general insurance. In addition to those insurance expenses, we are also over budget in the general fund for seasonal work, repairs, utilities, and payments to outside entities, the airport fund for fuel, building and grounds maintenance, other contractual services, and vehicle operations, the water plant for utilities, equipment, repair, debit card and credit card fees, tech services and heavy equipment, water distribution for building maintenance, sewer plant for tech services, biosolids application, and vehicle and operational equipment repair, sewer collection for equipment, building maintenance, and operating supplies, and finally, sanitation for other contractual services and refuse and recycling. Are there any questions on the financials?
Thank you, Kelsey. Questions? Thank you, Millie, for your motion, and Elaine for the second to approve this financial report. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you, Kelsey. We will move next into, special event requests. We have 3/2, I guess the first two are together. That's from the Chamber for the Women in Business event and the Flight Line Live event. We have Alicia and Michelle. Michelle, are you representing? Any questions? So I think one is normal. Flight Line is different because it is downtown. Do you want to come to the mic and maybe introduce, and we'll see if council has any questions or what other questions remain. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you, Mayor Rosine. Okay, so the Chamber is proposing.
You're fine, I turned it down a little bit. Okay. It's just finicky.
A new event this year called Women in Business. And the event is something we hope to hold on August 1st in Central Park. And it would be an event that celebrates the women in our workforce. And one of the effects from COVID and so forth has been just some challenges that females are facing in general, lack of childcare and the workforce and a variety of things. And this event is primarily an event to uplift some of the females in our community and allow our women, the professional women, shop owners and all that stuff, a chance to network and have a day of celebration. So the request from the city's standpoint is the use of Central Park so we can have tables, chairs, appetizers. And then one of the things that we'll also be providing is opportunities for them to learn about services that are available that might be of benefit to them. So bringing in some of our mental health partners, bringing in some other partners like that we just want to create awareness on some services that are available.
So the first event is for the use of Central Park for brunch. No parking cones, street closures, anything of that sort. Perfect. Council, any questions on this event? I would like to do them separately, if that's okay, for approval.
I would like to motion to approve this Women in Business event.
Second. I have the motion from Millie, the second from Isla. Just to clarify, on your paper, it does say August 1. On another, I have August 11. Is it correct that this is August the 1st? I just want to make sure we don't have anything.
I know we were trying to look up the date, so...
August the 1st is a
Monday. It is a Monday, August 1st.
It is a Monday, okay, great.
Must have been an extra heavy key.
Nope, might have been. So this is for the event on August 1st. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. We have to go ahead there. Let's talk about the Flight Line event for June the 4th.
Okay, and I just got some updated map that shows our snow fencing that has been something we've been working with Chief Lester. So Flight Line is our concert series that we typically hold the first weekend in June as part of our Summer Classic Town Celebration. And this year, Ridiculous Day is celebrating our 75th anniversary. And we wanted to try something different where we continue to partnership on our Ridiculous Day and our antique tractor parade,
But then immediately following that, instead of taking the crowd out of downtown to the airport for the concert series, we'd like to keep it downtown in Central Park and offer the event to be free to the community this year instead of an entrance fee. And we're featuring local bands. And that's where this revised map and special event request is coming into play. So we can just make sure that we're working with all of our public safety partners and city officials so we can have a safe event downtown.
Perfect. So I think I'll turn it over for council questions, then check with chief to see if there's any remaining concerns. Mm-hmm. I had one question, and that was during the, so typically with special events, we avoid taking any parking on the business side. And I believe during the parade, that is not the case. However, you are bringing an incredible amount of people to downtown, and generally businesses are very busy on ridiculous days. Ridiculous Day was an event that was created to support business. So all of that being said, are there any concerns with the closure for the parade? Because that is parking on business side. And that's one question I had. If mm-hmm. that's normally what's been done and I just don't remember, or what the situation is there.
Our parade for the Ridiculous Day typically was around 3 p.m. And so we would ask for the street closures to happen around 11 a.m. or noon. So we give a couple hours for people to clear out. That is pretty traditional as part of our Ridiculous Day celebration. The no parking request is from 1 to 6 for the parade this year. Once the parade comes through, this blocking of the spaces will be no longer in effect. People are able to park down there, but just for the safety, so that way the fire trucks and all that stuff can get through and everything like that. So as far as the store owners and stuff like that, we begin promoting retail sales and deals on Thursday. And so they have a 3-day window where we're trying to really bring consumers down to the downtown for dining and shopping and so forth. So
it's so while it's 1 to 6, it sounds like it actually will kind of end a little bit ahead of that as the parade goes through. Will conclude then?
No, because so we're anticipating that the parade arrives around 5:30. What I'm guessing is people will probably park a little bit after 1 o'clock. You know, they'll start to pull out, and we'll just give them a few hours to kind of slowly realize that they're not supposed to be parking there for the parade, and then we'll try to contact the owner. So it's probably more, 2 to 6.
Okay.
And a lot of the businesses are already closed, or traditionally they close on Saturdays by 2. So
okay. Well, that helps me. I just wanted to make sure that we were clear on what's happening and asking the right questions. Council, what questions remain?
Is the band going to be on the bands?
I don't think your mic is on, by the way. If the mic's not on, you want to push that gray button at the bottom. There you go.
There we go. Okay. All right. That was my question.
And what was it again?
The bands will be on the bandstand. I didn't see it. I remember other times when it's been different location.
So that's where the snow fencing comes in. And I believe the plan is for the snow fencing to be not directly around the square, which would, trap hundreds of people in a tighter, it's like one, is it on the outside of the square?
But yeah, it's both. So if you look at the map, this gray or the thick red line here is the snow fencing perimeter. And so it does go right up against the Central Park curb here.
On 3 of the sides.
Yes.
But not on the west side, yeah.
Yes. The west side will extend, so it will include all of our food vendors. And for the south side, where you can see there's activities like our tractor pull, the bike auction, and whatnot, that fencing won't be set up until the tractor pull has concluded and probably shortly right before the parade. But the intent of that, and not extending further, is our modern ag display, are those large ag vehicles in the street. And we don't want anyone getting on those late at night.
So that'll be shut off.
So we're going to close that. No entrance or exit on either the north or the south. So our entrances will be coming from the east or the west, where then they can be properly staffed and managed, so there's nothing inappropriate going in or out of the fenced area.
Perfect. Since it's a little different, it makes sense we have to pause for some mm-hmm. some questions. Other questions?
What time does the beer tent open?
Yeah. So it'll open after the parade comes through and parks. And so we're anticipating about 6:30.
Okay.
That's my question. Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Deanna.
Fran has called in. So can we put him into the meeting?
Yes. Sure.
Can you hear me, Fran?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can he use his Zoom link to log in? And then yes.
Well, he can attend by phone. I mean, it's okay to attend by phone. He's at a game.
Gotcha. So what's the request we want to put on the microphone?
I'm just going to put him next to the microphone. Great. He is on speaker, so he can talk and he can hear. Can you hear everything, Fran? Okay.
All right.
It's the new age.
Did he have a question?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Huh? Do you have any other questions, Council?
I think it looks pretty exciting.
Yeah,
I know we have check marks on the events, Chief. Are there any big things that remain that I know there's some things to work out that have been worked out? Is there anything that you have left now for us?
Yesterday. On their use of the smoke pins and the two entrances, and I think we're all on the same page.
Okay. Council, do you have a motion to approve the flight line requests?
So moved.
Thank you, Elaine, for your motion. Steve, for the second. If I haven't missed any discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much, Michelle.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Our next special event request is for Kids Fest on May 13th. We have Greta Clemens joining us virtually on Zoom. Hi, Greta.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, perfect. We can hear you very well. If you'd like to introduce your request, we'll see if we have any questions from the council for your event.
Sounds good. So this is for Kids Fest 2022. And we are requesting this on Friday, May 13th from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. And this year's theme is a magical journey to health. What we're requesting is to use Central Park. And on Thursday, May 12th, we are requesting, usually I think there is a farmer's market. So about 8 p.m. we like to close the curbside parking, like the parking right around the Central Park. That way Friday morning we can begin setting up. And then Friday, requesting to expand parking and traffic restrictions by closing the innermost traffic lane and inner row of parking around Central Park. So that will leave the whole outside lane open and parking by the businesses.
Is there anything different with your with the plan this year than in years past?
No, nope.
Perfect. Council, do you have any questions on the event for Kids Fest on May 13th?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Thank you, Isla, for your motion, and Millie with the second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Have a great event, Greta.
Thank you.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Awesome. We'll continue forward in tonight's meeting. We have a special presentation. We have two. The first is the Tree Committee's annual report. We have great representation always. We have Marty joining us. The floor is yours. And as we spoke, I allotted about 15 minutes for you guys to share your stuff.
Okay. I'm Marty McConnell, chair of the City Tree Committee. And this year, City USA that did not happen, but we were recognized for 31 years as a tree city, and we were voted global for the change of this season. We're pleased to make it possible for the city to have the recognition as a tree city. And as Jerry mentioned, one of the requirements is that you make an annual report to the
City Council, so that's why we're here. In our 30 plus years, I just can't talk like that to all these wonderful people, so sorry. There are only five of you and there are lots more. In our 31 years, we've given away or planted 13,700 trees, more or less. We've received $150,000 in grants. Some of these from the Washington Iowa Betterment Foundation, some from Trees Forever, and a few others here and there. This year we received an additional $5,000 DNR derecho assistant grant that was only eligible 29 counties in the state were able to apply, and it was this $5,000 gift that we needed to find out what to do with. So. Our annual, I'll tell you what we did, but anyway, our annual donations over the 30 years have been about $150,000 from wonderful donors in the community over the years. That, of course, doesn't include all of our volunteer hours, so we feel like we've done a lot to help the city, and we appreciate all that the city does for us. Clerical, Kelsey does a great job keeping track of our money, and the staff, the park people, the cemetery people, JJ at maintenance once in a while, so we're always very appreciative for all of their in-kind help. Andy's going to share a little bit. So.
Well, our current members are Rob Bennett, myself, Charles Halverson, Victoria Hansen, John Marshall, Byron Singbile, Kelly Sokup, Rick Wagneck, and Aaron Wolf, and of course, the one and only Marty McConnell. Some of the 2021 highlights we had were, we had the annual tree giveaway, which is now 31 years old. We gave away 170 free trees at the county fairgrounds this year. All the while, homeowners remained in their cars. There were about 12 varieties, including evergreens and fruit trees. We ordered a few more trees this year to make up for the ash trees that the communities lost. We also gave away 100 burros at the Chamber Summer Classic. We planted 30 trees, the phase two of the Wellness Park plan with Patia helping. Thank you, Nick. This spring, we also planted 12 new trees at the water treatment plant and 20 other trees at City Hall, Washington Middle School, High School, Lincoln Elementary, and these were assisted by Green Acres 4-H Club. And this fall, we applied for the grant that Marty had spoken about earlier from the DNR, and we worked with the cemetery sexton, Nick DeVault, and Nick Pesha, both Nicks, we ended up receiving 80 trees. 70 of those went out to the new Wellness Park for phase three. How many phases are we going to have out there? About 20? Okay, so next year on a few more phases, hopefully. We have over 50 volunteers that Saturday morning. It's great. Baseball kids, their parents, new Kiwanis and Rotarians. We're really grateful for all the help. Oh, and the softball folks. Yes. So it was a great year, and we're looking forward to another big year this year. And with that, Rick's going to
Good evening. I'm going to represent the Tree Committee right now to honor John Marshall. He's our Tree Committee volunteer here last year. John's one of those extraordinary people that you find out, okay, we got the poles done, we got the trees out there ready to go, and we're up to meet at 5, John's there at 1. He had 6 trees there before I got off work that day, planted by himself, and that ground there is just unfriendly. And same way with the Denver Lashmore project, we'd have a question about a residence, and John, oh, I don't know who lives there. He knows everybody, he knows where everybody lives in town, being, you know, he was a
postmaster for a exactly. Yeah, makes sense.
So, and other community things he's doing for helping other people. It just seems like when John wakes up in the morning, he's going, who can I help today? Hmm. That's just the kind of person I think John is. And he's very appreciated. And thank you, John. Mm-hmm.
Congratulations to John Marshall. Thank you, Rick. If I can connect. What else do you have for us? Oh. Marty has one more thing for you, it looks like.
Well, I just want to say a little bit more pile on with Rick about the postman's oath. Neither rain nor sleep nor dark of night shall stay these couriers in the swift completion of their appointed duties. And you had a plan that it's snow, sleep, rain, dark morning, most definitely. Always with a smile on your face. And Rick mentioned the knowledge that you have for every activist in town, which is an immense help to us. Mm-hmm. But he forgot to mention the most important thing John brings is he is our caterer. So we can't have to bring all the smoked meat to every meeting or every work session because we wouldn't get anything done. But it's been a real pleasure for over 20 years to have John on the committee, and he's done things the right way. And we look for 20 more years. And Marty, we should really blast you. Let's not get a plaque. Let's get a shovel out. So thank you. Oh, sure. So thank you for all your support over the years, and we look forward to continuing the partnership. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thanks to the Tree Committee for making our community a better place. All right. Thank you for taking the time. We much appreciate it. We have one more special presentation on the list, and you're welcome to stay for the duration of our meeting. We have lots more fun stuff to come. If you'd like, you don't have to, though. Okay. One more special presentation is our nuisance report. We have Sally with that department, representing Elaine Jennings.
So I am going to fill in for Elaine tonight. She gave me some further notes. The last big snow we had, she's had two more abatements. They were empty houses, but near schools. So she had those abated. And then as the snow melts, unless we get more this week, she's looking to enforce more vehicles on grass or junk nuisances in yards. She is still trying to find a couple of volunteers to help shovel snow for the elderly or disabled community members. She's contacted the high school in 4-H, but if anybody has any other ideas, please let Elaine know or let me know, and we'll work to get that taken care of. Are there any questions I can try to answer?
We do have a nuisance meeting this Thursday at 10, so if there are any things that should be reported that we don't have, feel free to send that to Elaine, Sally, myself, Deanna. We'll put that on the list if you have anything for us.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you, Sally.
Thank you.
Our next item on the agenda is presentation from the public, and then we'll go into regular business. I don't know if you'd like a pause so you can clear the room, or if you want to stay. I know you don't want to be awkward, but if you want to go, this is, you can roll out. And thank you for being here again. Before we do regular business, we do have the time for presentation from the public. Is there anyone that signed up to speak to the public or speak to us from the public? Is there anyone online that would like to address council at this time? Seeing none, we will continue forward into our new business. We have two public hearings, 14 items for consideration. We'll start right in. So I'm going to open the public hearing on the East Adams Street improvements. Council will recall we've done this public hearing before, but we're doing it again because we had those in kind of reverse order. So this public hearing is for the plan, specs, contract, and cost for the 2022 East Adams Street project. If there's anyone that would like to speak or ask questions regarding Adams Street, this is the time. Come on up, and if you don't mind introducing yourself again for the benefit of council and those online. The floor is yours.
Mark Sreysak. I just purchased the 1137 East Adams 5B. I noticed that since we talked last that I heard that it was going to be 20% of whatever the taxable amount was for the house. I believe it was, but the paperwork that we've gotten so far shows 30% for the preliminary.
I'm going to have to refer to Deanna, Sally, or Kevin for this question.
Would you mind bringing that here so I can take a look at it? Thank you.
I actually brought the one from last time. Okay. And the original one. That we got.
Okay. So which one is the?
Just show me your property. This one right here.
Okay. So your assessment for is $2,465.27 there. Mm-hmm. So in your property value. Is $183,000. So even though there's a 30% rate over here, but that's 30% of whatever the council is going to assess, which is not the total assessment on the project is $648,000. And so that's your percentage of the 30%. So your assessment over here is $2,465.27.
Okay.
So it's not 30% of what you're back. What your value is, but that the 30% is it's on the chart. It's just a little.
Yes, 30% of 180,000 would be
whoa,
more than that.
$60,000.
Yeah,
55. So I think the assessment would be the 2,400 is just all the way on the right side of your column.
Okay,
and you can pay that over time or pay it when the project's done, like in 18 months.
Okay, does that include the paving as well, or is that just for the sidewalk?
That would be the entirety of the project, the portion of it. So it'd be the paving and the sidewalk. Is that correct?
Yeah. So that's just the entire. That's the only thing you're going to assess for the entire project.
And infrastructure, storm sewer, yeah. All of the components of the project are included in what's assessed. Really, it's not one specific part of the project.
Now, is that part of the city's right of way? Because normally, if I've heard everything and read everything correctly, that it's normally the city that pays for that, not the property.
The vast majority of it, the city pays for. Kevin, would you answer your better?
The city can always assess costs for the improvements in front of your house. I mean, the city can, in theory, they can assess a larger amount than the city's chosen to do. And this is the same typical project amount that we've done on numerous of these projects in the last couple of years here. So that's under state law, the city could assess for any improvements, even in front of your house, that are in the right of way. And the sidewalk's typically in the right of way also, even though the homeowner still has to take care of the sidewalk and everything like that.
Okay, so it's part of the whole right of way.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what we were wanting to make sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you, Marcus, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Marcus. So this is still the public hearing for the 2022 East Adams Street improvements. If there's any others that would like to address council on this topic.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve, for your motion, and Millie for the second to close the public hearing. Sally, please call that roll.
Galt?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Steigers? Youngquist?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
You could say yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that public hearing is now closed. And our next item is the resolution on the plan, specs, and form of contract for this project.
I make a motion to approve this resolution.
Okay.
Thank you, Millie, for the motion, and Isla with the second. A roll call vote. Sally, please call that roll.
Moore?
Yes.
Steigers? Youngquist?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Yes.
And we will continue forward with putting that to bid. Our next public hearing is on plan specs, form of contract, and estimate of cost for the wastewater treatment plan demolition project. Council will see that we have three items of business related to this. The estimate of cost was $175. We have a bid to award for $169. But first is the public hearing. If anyone would like to address the demolition of the former wastewater treatment plant. It's been on the chopping or on the demolition plan for 10 years. Seeing no comment related to that, I would look for council to close.
Motion to close public hearing.
Okay.
Thank you, Millie, for the motion, and we'll do Elaine for the second to close the public hearing on the demolition project. Sally, please call that roll.
Fingers.
Brand.
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Galt?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
And the public hearing is closed on the for this project. We have two items of business. The first is a resolution on those plans.
Hi. Go ahead, Steve.
Resolution passes resolution on plans. The old wastewater treatment demolition project.
Second.
Thank you, Steve, for your motion. And Millie for the second on this resolution adopting those plans. There's no further discussion. Sally, please call that roll.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Galt?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Steigers?
And those plans are adopted. We did receive bids for this demolition project. Our next item is a resolution that would award bid to DeLong Construction for $169,250. That's below the estimated budget of $175,000 and advantageous for all as work is being done in that area by DeLong's on the West Buchanan Street project. So a win-win for the city of Washington if council seeks to award this resolution to DeLong's.
Motion to approve this resolution awarding the bid to DeLong Construction.
Second.
Thank you, Millie, for your motion, and Isla for the second to approve this resolution awarding bid. Roll call vote. Sally, please call that roll.
Ernest?
Yes.
Galt?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Steigers? Youngquist?
Yes.
Excellent. I think it would be appropriate for us to continue in regular order because we can.
Yeah.
And
he's on.
So we will now do the public hearing that requires the supermajority that Fran has called in for. This is a public hearing on the total maximum property tax dollars to be levied in the fiscal 2022-23 budget. This is also what we've done before. It's procedural for the state of Iowa. So this is a public hearing on a total tax levy. If anyone would like to address council on the tax levy at this time, this is the time. Council.
Motion to close public hearing.
Thank you, Millie. Sorry. And thank you, Steve, for the second to close the public hearing. A roll call vote. Sally, please call that roll.
Galt?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Steigers? Youngquist?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
And that public hearing is now closed, and we have a resolution requiring a supermajority that would set that property tax levy for the fiscal 22-23 budget. In our workshop, we'll be discussing what we discussed last week with the specifics. That is not this item of business. That item is in the workshop for later. Mm-hmm. This just sets that tax levy according to the timeline for the state of Iowa.
Motion
to approve the resolution.
Second.
Thank you, Ayla, for the motion and Millie for the second. Have I missed any discussion? Seeing none, Sally, please call the roll for this.
Moore?
Yes.
Steigers?
Fran?
Youngquist?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Galt?
Yes.
And that levy is set. If you want to let Fran know that he's welcome to stay, but that we don't require that supermajority. You can,
okay. Yeah. Fran, that's all we needed you for. If you want to stay on, you can, or you can get off the phone, whichever you decide. Okay, he's going to keep listening.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay, we have whatever number of items of regular business left before the budget workshop. The next item, item number 8, is consideration of the Bazooka Farm Star tax abatement. As indicated, this is urban revitalization for the addition of space that increased their manufacturing capacity. Council will be aware of this project. We've had related business throughout sewer relocation. We've also done a resolution for their Quality Jobs Act. This is consideration of the specific tax abatement for that property improvement. Council, any questions or a motion? Anything that I'm missing, Sally, Deanna, Kevin?
So I was just going back through the agreements that are recorded here. When we did this agreement with Bazooka, and I think we put the sewer line in for them, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
There's a minimum assessment of 1 point. Let me just pull it up here so I have the right one in front of me. They're required to have a minimum assessment on this property of $1.295 million. And I'd like you to approve this subject to making sure that with, once we did the abatement, that we still have meet the minimum assessment agreement. 10 minutes, getting text or call, let them know about 10 minutes.
So you're looking to confirm that the assessment is
1.295 million. So
1.295 million.
Yeah. So they're asking for an abatement that started at 75%, and their building permit valuation is 1.2 million. So if we took 75% of that, my math fuzzy there, but you know, that's like $300,000.
Well, you did go to law school.
I know, math was not yeah. taught there. So I don't want to hold them up, but I want to make sure there would be something to making sure that the total assessment would not dip below the 1.295 million.
Uh-huh. Perfect. So council, if you want to make that motion as advised, I think that would be sufficient. And
we'll double check and report back.
What's there?
Go ahead, Elaine, if you'd like.
I'm not sure I caught all that, but I'm making motion to accept the tax abatement.
Subject
to the math coming up appropriately for Bazooka.
So I have a motion from Elaine to approve this tax abatement subject to the appropriate
minimum assessment agreement is not violated by granting the abatement.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do I have a second for Elaine's motion?
Second.
The second from Millie. Has any further discussion? Are we on the same page with what's being advised?
Yes.
Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you, Kevin. If you would provide an update after confirming.
Okay.
After confirming that's the case, would you update council?
We'll get back to you. Show the values will be.
Our next item of consideration is a contract for the NLW2 subdivision. Total bid, as you can see at the end of the packet, is $597,074.50. This is the contract for the work to be done at NLW phase two. I believe the reason this is a contract is because of how specific the work is and what we require to be done in phase two.
Sorry to interrupt, but Fran must be on his way back home and he lost our signal, so he is no longer in a meeting.
Thank you, Deanna.
Motion to approve the contract for NLW phase two subdivision for long construction.
Thank you, Isla, and thank you, Elaine, for the second to approve this contract. I think it makes sense. And I don't think any of the remaining business is controversial or different than council should expect as we put those plans and specs to bid. So have I missed any discussion?
No.
Good. Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you, council. Our next item is consideration of a resolution that would endorse an application for the All-Star Community Award. This is for the Wellness Park. Some will remember we're a previous recipient for the auditorium project. Mm-hmm. This is a recognition through the Iowa League of Cities. Thank you, Sally, Deanna, and those that have done work on this application. This resolution would support this potential recognition and award. Mm-hmm.
I would make the motion we approve this resolution.
Thank you, Millie, for your motion. Steve, for the second. Roll call vote, if I haven't missed discussion. Sally, please call that roll.
Moore?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Galt?
Yes.
And that resolution is supported unanimously. We'll look forward to hearing the results. Our next item is a resolution that would endorse an application for the Walmart Foundation grant for the Wellness Park play structure. We have Nick Pesha joining us for any questions. We do have his memo that all of council read completely in their packet, like we're supposed to. and that specifies the buy-in. I did write a letter of support. Council approves this. It goes out tomorrow. We have this grant would be $100,000 of a $225,000 project and has buy-in from civic organizations, the park board, the gift fund, and hotel, it's important to hotel motel. And then at the top of the memo, you'll see that additional funds from the municipal grants that we received from the Riverboat Foundation, Deanna, Kelsey, Sally, there is some designation of funds from the city of Washington in that category. We're still pledging everything that we've done so far with the Muni grants, but this would be the extra that we've been receiving because those revenues have been higher. And Deanna wanted to make sure I pointed that out. Is there anything I'm missing, Deanna?
No, I think that we just wanted you to be aware of what you're actually approving. Yeah. The 50% to make that grant match.
And that would be where the city buy-in is.
Correct.
For a potential, again, $100,000, it's the grant that we're applying for.
I make a motion to endorse the application for the Wilmar Foundation grant for the wellness park place structure.
Second.
Thank you, Elaine, for your motion and Millie for the second. A roll call vote. Sally, please call that roll.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Galt?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Thank you, Council. That will support the application nicely. Mm-hmm. Our next item is a resolution supporting the buy local policy and local bidder preference policy. Council has expressed this desire many times with all of the projects and things that we bid out. This provides a framework for choosing local over non-local bidders with a, you know, up to 5%. Administrator McCusker brought this to us from her previous city and included a memo describing it and its purpose. Deanna, is there anything that you'd like to add at this time?
No, I just think it's a good policy to adopt because when we do bidding, if a bid comes in that's outside of Washington, that's lower, if it falls within these guidelines, then we can still award to a local contractor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Deanna. Council.
I make a motion to accept the resolution supporting the buy local policy and local bidder preference policy.
Second.
Thank you, Elaine, for your motion and Millie for the second on this resolution on the buy local policy. If there's any further discussion, Sally, please call the roll on that resolution.
Ernest?
Yes.
Galt?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes.
And that resolution is passed. We'll continue forward to item 13, the resolution approving the POSNMOR agreement and annual update. Were you here at the beginning of the meeting?
No.
Okay. We did describe that at 7:30 there's an obligation. So if we're not wrapped up by then, we either have to recess and return to work or basically just keep on the path. And that's how I like to run meetings anyway.
Okay.
Just to let you know, that was mentioned at the start. This POSNMOR agreement, we were up for renewal. We do have Amber and, remind me?
Sarah.
Amber and Sarah from the POSNMOR board. As council will know, Elaine also sits on the POS board now. We have representation as we are a major partner with POSNMOR. And I believe there were a few adjustments to the agreement, but most of it is the same. Who would like to speak? Amber, would you like to mention anything? Or Kelsey? I know you worked together. Deanna? Yeah.
Okay. We basically updated the cost and it's per the actual animals that we get taken to the to PAWS. We basically want to receive an invoice every July based on the animals that were taken care of the previous calendar year. I think that's pretty much the only things that were changed in this agreement from any other agreement we've had with them.
Will it come up for renewal again or will renew automatically?
We're doing a 3-year contract.
A 3-year, perfect. Mm-hmm. Amber, Sarah, is there anything that you'd like to mention about the agreement or in support of the organization?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, great.
Oh yeah, because the update is there too. Yeah, so the floor is yours.
Okay, yeah. Great. Thank you for having us, everyone. This is Sarah O'Donnell. She's our new treasurer for POSNMOR. So we've got some new faces on our board as well. Just wanted to update you, it's been a while. We're just so grateful for the partnership and the services that you guys support for the community. We have, the shelter is, you know, we're not only serving the animals, we're supporting the families that, you know, are involved with all of those animals, assisting law enforcement. We stay pretty busy and through our spay neuter program, we're also helping almost 1,000 animals a year coming in and out of our doors through lost and found, spay neuter, adoption. And so we are just so proud to be a community hub where people can come and visit. And we have such a reach through the whole corridor up to Cedar Rapids, mm-hmm. Iowa City. People come to our facility from all over. So we're very proud of it and we're grateful for your support and services. Yeah, Sarah is a great addition
welcome,
to the board.
I know, I miss you guys.
Well, I was just going to say thank you to Kelsey for helping me kind of work through what the past contract was and with these new changes so that we can get on a better system, including that annual billing. We did have a little bit to catch up from the past couple fiscal years, but I think it is all going to work out great and have a good path forward.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be an easy billing system now, so
yeah,
we're excited.
For council's information, there was like a delay. So Kelsey mentioned there will be a budget amendment that addresses that for council. You'll see that come forth, and it just has to do with the timing of a check and an invoice, a fixable problem, and one that's addressed with the new agreement. Yeah. Sarah, where do you hail from? How long have you been?
I live in Kelowna, and I started as a treasurer in January. So there's been a huge learning curve for a nonprofit. Like, I've been bookkeeping for 20 years or more, but yeah, this is a new fun project to work on.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Excellent. Council, any questions on the pause and more agreement and annual update? This is a resolution that we are seeking action on.
I make the motion to approve the pause and more agreement.
Second.
Thank you, Steve, for the motion, and Millie for the second on this resolution. There's no further discussion. Please call that roll.
Bolt?
Yes.
Moore?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
And that will be approved and signed. And thank you very much, Amber and Sarah.
Thanks.
A final item of regular business, a resolution awarding contract for the West 5th and Lexington Boulevard Improvement Project. Council will recall some discussion, and we passed a 28E agreement related to sharing these expenses with the county. The bid I have in my notes is for Jones for $969,707.77, and this would authorize the county engineer to sign those documents and move this project forward. Council, questions on this resolution awarding contract?
No questions, but I would make a motion to approve the contract.
Thank you, Millie, for your motion, and Elaine for the second on this resolution awarding contract. A roll call vote. Sally, please call that roll.
Moore?
Yes.
Youngquist?
Yes.
Ernest?
Yes.
Bolt?
Yes.
And we'll look forward to that project commencing. Another much needed improvement that I'm excited to see. It's bumpy when I air dry my truck on the car wash. Sorry. All right, with that, that concludes our regular business. We'll move next into the budget workshop portion of this evening. If you have business related, you're welcome to stay. If not, you're welcome to not stay. The order I'll do things, by the way, is I will have you up first, actually. Well, sorry, bad timing. It's the order in the book, and it's alphabetical. So we're going to do Chamber, Main Street, Wedge, then we'll discuss the levy, and then we'll do any other questions that council may have. I'm so sorry, Michelle. It's your, Yep, so this is the outside entity funding in the narrative. We have the requests. As council knows, there were some requests for increase, but then we requested that outside entities keep their requests flat. This year, the entities did make an adjustment to keep their funding requests flat. But this time, we can hear any updates they have and answer any questions that council may have. So Michelle, the floor is yours for the chamber portion.
Okay. Just a little background here. So the request is part of the chamber, but officially it's for the Tourism and Welcome Center programming that we offer. And I understand that's confusing to a lot of people, but in small organizations, smaller communities, chamber has an opportunity to do a variety of roles, and some of them do economic development, some of them access Main Street. We're lucky enough to have amazing partners in that area. But we have been a partner with the city for a number of years to act as the tourism arm for the community. And so what differentiates some of our chamber activities, which might be more focused on business or membership in that area, our tourism is all inclusive, and it's an opportunity for us to involve and work with the community at large. Our focus is on creating a high quality of life and driving visitors to our community. One of the things that we do, because our organization is able to do businesses in our community is we bridge those two by creating partnerships and sponsorship opportunities for our events. And that in turn helps our businesses with their retention rates. It helps them have a quality of life. It helps our population continue to grow. A few things that we operate as part of this funding stream is the Welcome Center for Washington, which is volunteer staff, but it handles all of our tourism requests that we get as walk-ins, and we have quite a few people call us, and we mail community information. We give it to schools so they can learn about our community. We get the utility signups from the city, send them welcome letters, and then we have a welcome package of information about our community that we give to all of our new residents. We create and maintain a variety of lists that are for the benefit of the community that have no bearing on whether someone might be a chamber member or not. Our most popular list is the landlord list. As I'm sure many of you guys can imagine, we get people walking in daily for that. But we also try to keep ourselves all inclusive when it comes to certain services that we know are beneficial when someone's moving here. So we maintain information on our schools and daycares, healthcare services, community organizations, regardless of whether or not they are part of the chamber organization, but we know that's a service that the community needs, and we're happy to provide and maintain that. Even though I think some of you guys have gotten a little dose of what that takes on our website maintenance, and we're sort of creating a phone directory for the entire community, which has its own challenges, and we'll try to stay up with that as best as we can. But it's a fun service, and it creates an opportunity for us to connect. Some publications that our Welcome Center creates is, we've advertised in area publications like our Iowa, Midwest Living, social media, our website. And then we create a variety of our own proprietary brochures, cemetery brochures, historical homes, dining, shopping. One of the cool things that we do, many of you may not be aware of, is we go around to all of our area restaurants and we get their menus. And some don't have menus, and we create them for them, kind of like a McDonald's menu. And we have these booklets of menus that we have available at our funeral homes, hospitals, places where family might be visiting, not knowing what JP serves or Uncle Neff's. And so we help to give a little bit of background on that as one of our services. We also create a community tripod, a community magazine, and we have recently updated our barn quilt brochure information. And I think you guys have gotten an update about what the middle school is doing on revitalizing. And so we're partnering on that as well with the actual barn quilts that need a little bit of upkeep. We maintain partnerships with a lot of state tourism boards, Eastern Iowa Tourism Association, the Iowa Federation, the Travel Federation of Iowa, a variety of those. And then we create events that are open to the community at large. And so we've got a number of events we've had for many years. One of the exciting ones I mentioned is our Ridiculous Day. We'll be celebrating their 75th anniversary this year. And so the fact that we were able to continue that is of great pride. During COVID, we did not eliminate any of our events. In fact, we added 3 new events, and we've kept those on our roster for us to continue. So some of our new events is the Choctoberfest chocolate walk around the square to encourage shopping. An additional craft fair, Hocus Pocus in the Park, our partnership with Main Street, and our Halloween activities. We did Dinner in the Park, additional holiday lighting activities, and an October golf tournament open to the community. So those are kind of some of the things that we really focus on for the Welcome Center side.
Awesome, thank you. Okay. Thank you, Michelle. Are there any questions for Michelle on the chamber portion? Fast is good, you know, I'm like crazy.
Typically, I come up here and I just ask if you have any questions, but.
No, and then we received that information in the packet, and most of us, we go through the specifics of the budget, like during that budget workshop time, but go straight to the narrative and read from our department heads and their requests, outside entities and your updates. That's typically one of the first things that we all go to and read about. Mm-hmm. Are there questions for, and I do anticipate that we'll have some changes in upcoming years. We appreciate your willingness to work with us this year and delay any in funding increases as in a difficult position.
No, and I totally understand. And we represent the tourism industry, which is probably the hardest hit in, with everything with COVID. You don't probably realize the different tourism activities that happen around here. But it is significant. And so our request is to keep the funding request the same as in past years, which is $24,000. And so happy to meet you guys at your needs.
Perfect.
Willing to support us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Unless there's any questions.
No.
Okay. Chamber, Main Street, you are next. Welcome, Sarah and Brent.
Actually, Maddie is online also. And I'm actually have Brent and Maddie kind of talk to you guys about kind of our year in review. And I'm going to hand out a little brochure and then I'll wrap it up. And we promised Deanna 3 minutes. So.
Thanks for having me. I'm Brent Robbery of Spring Work Festival. I'm here to talk about what happened in 2021 for Main Street. And then I'll hand it over to Maddie. She'll talk about the benefits that the city gets from the money that is invested in Main Street and what's going to be happening in the future. So for 2021, we had building projects, Marion Avenue expansion, Wingus, becoming the Northside Diner with the $100,000 challenge grant, downtown housing grants in the works, and the YMCA 24/7 gym lofts and two new antique shops, six new businesses, one that had a business transfer, Simply Spa became the chair. Expansions or relocations, which included List Out Wellness and Emporium. There were zero closures during COVID. Retail reporting, record sales through the holidays, and there was a 144% increase in retail sales since 2012, basically, since you have been.
The number of retailers, not retail sales. Okay. And it's probably closer to 130% just based on businesses transferring. So I can explain that at the end.
Okay. We recently returned to in-person holiday events, served over 300 children at Santa's House featuring Santa's helpers. The farmers market saw growth in producers, able to have several food bugs program and SNAP aiding most food insecure members of our community. And so now I will hand over to Ben.
Hi, Maddie.
Hi, Council and Mayor Rosine. I appreciate you accommodating me via Zoom today. Always fun when your kid shares everything with you, including illnesses. So apologize for the lack of in-person. I did want to talk a little bit about the return on investment that the city does receive for their investment that they make in the Main Street program. And I apologize, I'm not sure, did you get a copy of the spreadsheet of tax collections that were received for fiscal year 20 and 21? I'm sorry, Sarah, I can't hear you.
No, they did not.
They did not, okay. So the spreadsheet I'm looking at was run, I believe, via the Treasurer and Assessor's Office. What we did was, actually what Sarah had them do was run a downtown GIS map of our downtown district to actually lay that over the taxes received by the city based on that downtown district. And I won't bore you with what the actual dollars and cents were. What it in essence turns out to be is a 29.5-to-1 return on investment for every dollar you invest in Main Street, for which we're very grateful. What that means is that, how that breaks down, excuse me, is that for every $1 that you invest in Main Street, $22 go back into the Washington City General Fund. And again, $7 then goes into the City Urban Renewal TIF Fund. That's going to be a huge offset when it comes time to move forward with the City Streetscape program project. And will help offset other downtown investment projects such as the streetscape program. So I do feel that margin has likely increased over the past few years. We would need the historic data on that, but I do wanna say that return on investment did come from the work of Sarah and a board that have not always, and I'll put some of this on myself, as have not always been super engaged. You know, life gets busy, COVID happens. I'm sure we've all experienced things like that. I will say that our board and our executive team has become very reinvigorated. So I feel that return on investment, that 29-to-1 return, is only going to increase as we work with other businesses and new businesses in town to increase their offerings, increase their assessed value, therefore their taxable value. You know, things like Brent mentioned that the Northside Diner, the old Wingus Cafe, I am guessing that the taxable amount or the assessed value will be increasing quite significantly here in the next year or two. So and that, you know, may not have been made possible without the Main Street Iowa grant that Sarah helped the owners work to achieve. So I would say, you know, from a numbers perspective, that's kind of always where my brain goes. If you give me this, what do you get in return? I do feel that's a very, very strong return on investment for the city.
Thank you very much, Maddie.
Yes.
I'll just clarify for you guys what she was saying. Maddie, your mic was cutting out a little bit.
Oh, I apologize.
We have a GIS map that Dewey Royer from the county produced for us that is the outline of our district. And the assessor's office is able to run it through their software, and it gives us a breakdown of what the assessed value of downtown's district alone is and the taxable value. They were then able to take that and put it through their levy rates, their mill rates for last year, and give us the number of what was actually dispersed to the city, to the county, to schools, to the hospital, et cetera. What she was saying was, for every dollar you invest in Main Street, you are receiving $29 back. So 22 of that is going into the general fund and 7 of that is going to the urban rural TIF fund that will help with the downtown streetscape project. So that's what Maddie was trying to convey. So
sorry.
One investment and return for you guys for the work that we're doing every day. So that was the clarifying. The brochure that I handed to you is something the retailers requested of us this year. We are seeing a large number of people from outside of our community, much to Michelle's credit with the chamber and the tourism arm. But also just our retailer core has grown so much. We're seeing a lot of outside visitors coming to shop. And the retailers were saying, I really need an easy way to be able to circle something to send them to one of the other businesses. They are working much more collaboratively than they ever have before. So we produced this. This hasn't been printed yet. It's going to be very shortly. And they're going to be able to have those in their stores. When I started, there were 9 retailers that still exist that are on that map. Now we have 22. Wow. We are seeing a boom in our community in the retail core. They're working together. And I hope in some ways it has to do something with the work we're doing here in Washington. So without anything else, because we're taking a bunch of time and Jared's got to get out of here. Are there any questions for me?
And I do want to do due diligence, so we can spend as much time as we need on anything. It's just a matter if we have to recess or not. Are there questions for Sarah on Main Street? I know we have switched our representation on the Main Street board as well. We have Isla as the liaison for Main Street that will represent city interests, and Kevin left.
A while ago.
And sometimes we have questions for Kevin as well, but
Isla has joined us on the board. Deanna joined us this week for our first board meeting, and we're happy to have you both.
All right, thank you Sarah.
Thank you,
Mary. The hot seat is yours.
Okay. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Great week. Just wanted to thank you, first of all, for your support.
last year and then going forward. Because of you, we've been able to accomplish a lot, and there's a lot more to come this year. So I just wanted to say a heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you for your support of economic development. You know, a few things I'll just cover very quickly, because I know we're in a time constraint as well. You know, we've been so fortunate to work with you all on things like, you know, facilitating different programs through the Iowa Economic Development Authority, through ECCOG and East Central Iowa Housing Trust Fund, especially the Housing Trust Fund. I serve on both of those boards. So we do whatever we can to even come up with programs for down payment assistance, for rehabilitation, for any of the properties that are available here in Washington or Washington County to make them available for first-time home buyers or workforce housing or any of the housing needs that we have in this community. So for that, I'm so grateful. Also for Envision Iowa, we thought it was very, very important for the rural voice, for our rural opinions to be heard. So we made sure to bring them to Washington so they were able to interview people one-on-one so they could hear what our inspiration and aspirations were. We are thrilled to have the Iowa Finance Authority Director, Debbie Durham, coming right here to Washington County, or right here to Washington, on March 29th. Anybody that would like to join us, please reach out to me. We're gonna start at Brava Roofchild. We're also gonna visit Bazooka Farmstar and Engineered Building Designs. We're gonna do a lunch break at the Y, where they're gonna talk about the pool project and also do a housing summary update at that point. So like I said, if anybody would like to join us for that day, Jaron's gonna be doing some greetings and maybe Deanna as well. To welcome everybody to our community. But if you've not met Debbie Durham, she is a mover and a shaker and can get a lot done for our community. So she's wonderful. We also love having you serve on the Wedge Board as well. I think that's so important to make sure we have a strong connection between our entities. And we've really enjoyed that. Website collaboration, that's been a work in progress. And thank goodness for the leadership of Michelle and Sarah and you at the city, Sally, for working on the website and bringing that all together. I just think that shows a lot of strength in our community by all of us working together. The annual dinner, if you've not signed up yet, make sure you do that. That's going to be March 7th at the casino. It'll be a great time, a celebration of the end of COVID or whatever you want to call it at this point. That'll be a lot of fun. Also, one of the things that we're going to continue to work on, of course, is the railroad merger. Mm-hmm. So we'll continue to facilitate meetings. I was just talking to Jaron and Deanna about that today. We're going to separate the meetings. So one is going to be like the EMS safety committee meeting. Another one will be engineering. And the other one will be community impact. Mm-hmm. And so Wedge will help facilitate those meetings and get those set up between this community and the Canadian Pacific Railroad, because there will be some changes with that railroad coming through. Mm-hmm. We'll continue to work on housing and workforce, childcare. Those are all big issues. We are out looking at lending hands today with some entities that are interested in that property. Still hoping to get that middle school some ideas and plans for that middle school, and also for the what we call the Elder Y building. There's a lot of potential there too. So we've taken some groups through there ourselves. So let's see what else. We continue to work on talent and workforce attraction. And again, just so grateful for your partnership and to be able to work with like Sarah and Michelle and all of you at the city. So I think I'm going to wrap that up, keep it kind of short and sweet. There's a lot going on, but I want to keep it short and sweet tonight. So any questions?
Well, Mary, you continue to be a pleasure to work with, as do Sarah and Michelle. I just can't realize. I'm like, oh, I didn't say that earlier. But all three organizations are tremendous, and I've especially appreciated your help with the railroad. That's kind of what made me think of it, because it's above and beyond that you're assisting, I think, the city of Washington, Deanna, and myself with facilitating that discussion, and thank you for that. Council, are there any questions for Mary? Okay.
Good work.
Thank you very much. Council, that concludes the outside entity portion of the budget workshop. We heard from our partner organizations as well as from PAWS. We do have one other decision to make this evening, and then we open it up to any other questions that we've missed. Oh, I'm going to speak really well next event. Maxed out right now. Council will recall that we discussed adjusting the levy ever so slightly to the tune of $20 per $100,000 household, $40 for a $200,000 household, and $60 for a $300,000 household. A minor adjustment that would net $40,000 to $60,000. Is that correct? To the general fund? Oh, I'm sorry, but approximately that much. There was three options that council could decide on using that increase. One would be for the general fund, which would in turn pay off the building sooner, which would in turn go towards the capital equipment plan. The second item was for a specific item, like a sand filter, mm-hmm. but I think there might be some other options there. And then the third category would be wages. And we do have union negotiations coming up. Kelsey and Deanna and I spoke today about what potential increases could be in the budget. Some of that just depends on how the negotiation comes out. Mm-hmm. I did ask for a recommendation and I would like to hear about that at this time. Kelsey, do you have a recommendation for us?
Yes. I would like to recommend that council considers 5% wage increases, and that still gives us $65,000 left in the general fund that we can use towards paying off the project and towards capital equipment once that project is paid.
So that would be to kind of split it between option one and option three, which in turn, if council sees fit, would actually kind of help do option number two, that sand filter. I think it's a great recommendation because it accomplishes all of the things that we've been asking for.
Can you say that again, Kelsey?
Could you repeat your recommendation for Millie?
Yeah, sure. 5% wage increases for city staff, and then that leaves $65,000 left in the general fund that we can use to pay off the project. And then once that project is paid off, if it's less than the 65, we can start putting money away for the capital equipment needed.
Which is the CEP. You'll recall that we've done some extensive planning, that we have a CIP and then we have a CEP.
Not yet.
And, or we would like to. This would start the CEP, capital equipment purchases. Other discussion? Yeah. I figured if we directed staff to kind of give us a recommendation and sort through the numbers, we trust their judgment and know that we have quality people that know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And to trust the recommendation. We don't need formal action on it unless you're going to give a different directive.
No.
So by increasing this tax levy, what is the total amount more that we're collecting?
So $20 per $100,000 household, then the $40 and the $60 for a total amount that Kelsey does not have in front of her this second.
Because I put, for my numbers, I put in the 5% increases to come up with what was left.
Yeah. So if she had just done the one thing, like the general fund, maybe she'd have a different number. But the recommendation is that we do a partial for wages. Mm-hmm. You know, the levy has all of those different areas that we can levy for.
Yeah.
And we max out, don't max out on certain mm-hmm. ones, and it gets super complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And we trust competent staff to review and bring recommendations to us.
Okay.
That's where the number lands for both. And then that would be formally adopted. Like basically council, if you have a different directive, this would be the time for it. And then the formal adoption would take place at our, like the final budget hearing.
March 15th.
Okay. And will we know about negotiations before that?
March 9th is when that's scheduled. Yeah, so maybe.
But we can't make any changes.
Right.
I mean, we can't make any changes to the max levy. What was said tonight, that's what it's got to stay at. Right. We can drop it. We just can't increase it.
Can't increase, yeah. So we'll know more for budget negotiations after March 9th.
Okay.
Which in the past, we've treated all departments equally and not varied between mm-hmm. different groups. And we've treated union and non-union members all equally and have not rewarded or penalized in any category.
Okay.
I anticipate that precedent to continue.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same board. Yeah.
Cool. So as this is one of the final budget workshops, we can also discuss anything else if there are any questions. I like getting four all close. It's kind of in a pandemic. Never mind. Let's do our final closeout stuff. Department reports. Chief, do you have anything for our attention?
The January activity report was in your packet. Busy with investigations and arrests. We had three search warrants from last week, along with some arrests over the weekend for an assault and robbery incident that happened. So they were staying busy. All of our cars are operational as of today.
Very good. Thank you, Chief. And as I definitely noticed, Kevin left. Deanna, do you have anything for us?
I mean, I have a lot of stuff, but just a few things. Of course, I'm attending lots of meetings again. Next week, we have a couple important meetings coming up. I'm meeting again with the senior housing people to get some more information on that. Once we get a little more information, we will probably be bringing it to council. Also attending rental housing inspection meeting, actually tomorrow, I believe. Also meeting next week with MSJ subdivision owners. So there'll probably be more information that will be coming to you guys, I'm sure, on that. Tomorrow night, the mayor and I are attending a meeting with the Latino group to basically listen to them.
Listen, answer questions, hear some feedback again, and then we'll bring that to council. I anticipate for a formal vote on whether council would like to use ARPA funding for that request or not, or to direct accordingly to maybe some different approach. Sorry to cut you off, Deanna, but
yeah, that's okay.
As we've discussed, we'll bring it to council after that.
I can just email this. I'm going to start emailing this out ahead of time and send them if there's any questions from you, because I just list whatever I'm doing. So
we also have the Iowa Wesleyan bringing a small group meeting.
Yes.
So this is kind of a both hats thing, but they're coming to JP's, and it's typically like a community update. We anticipate 10 to 15 people. I understand we'll be joined by an Iowa Wesleyan board member, I believe, Christy Vilsack.
Yep.
And the invitation was extended to Deanna. So we'll do that, and then we'll go to Scooch and Me Voice after that at the church. It'll be a busy evening for us.
Wow, interesting.
I'd have to have a... Anyway.
Yes.
Let's do our once around. Elaine.
I don't.
Cool. Thank you. Isla, do you have anything for us?
No, I think so. The sidewalks got cleared off with the snow. The snow wasn't a problem. So.
Yes, it was quite.
It must have melted. Okay.
I think I've shared anything I had, so I don't have anything. Millie.
Hotel Motel Committee is busy. We have some projects coming up, the electric car charging station on the south side. Near the bandstand, it's going to be happening, and we are working on the app. Sally's working on the application for Great Places. We're going to bring that to council for your approval. I think in early March. Yeah, so things are rolling with that, and there's some other things, but seems to be going pretty well. Making progress.
Thank you, Millie. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, Steve, do you have anything for us tonight?
Not a thing.
Oh, all right.
I'm getting the motion to adjourn.
You get it. The motion from adjourn comes from, to adjourn comes from Steve. The second from Billy. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
You're out of here.
Thank you, everyone. I'm just going right to my office.